I share a different message for the group there, because definitely that is a much older group, and compared to you guys, a much younger. So it's a different message. So Daddy took the home family to dinner. When the server brought the bill and Daddy left some tip on the table, little Johnny glanced at the bill and the tip, and he asked his parents why the server got 15% and God only got 10%. Do you ever give a thought about the 10% or the tithe that you return to God? It's not that much in comparing to all the expenses that we spend or sometimes even squander. Many of us eating out often, most do not mind giving a $5, $10 for tip, but some things twice. If he should put in the offering plates a $5 or a $1 bill. The message I want to share with you this morning is offering and giving because we are thankful. So because of that, I want to brief shortly, very short, about the tithing system, the origin of it. So, you know, if you read in the book of Genesis, Abraham and Jacob already set aside one-tenth of what they profit for God. When God had Moses bringing the Israelites out of Egypt and to bring them to a promised land, he instructed them about giving tithe. God told them that they need to build a new nation, and for that nation to function and work, tithing is a part of that system. During that trip, as you know, the Israelites got 13 tribes. Yes, 13. Do you know why? Anybody know why? Because the children of Joseph each have a tribe, Manasseh and Ephraim. So God ordered the tribe of Levi to be dedicated to serve at the temple. So there are the other 12 tribes that can do whatever they want. In the book of Numbers, it recorded the instruction that God gave to Moses in regarding the tribe of Levi and their duties. During the trip to the promised land, each family of the Levites will have a specific duty to take care of. God chose Aaron and his family to be the priests of the nation. They were to serve God and the people's spiritual needs. The other Levites' family would be each in charge of different functions to serve at the temple. Remember, these folks were traveling in the desert for 40 years, and they have to stop and camp, set up the tent, and then move on, and then go to the next place, and then set up the camp, maybe stay there for a month, 2 months, or sometimes only a few days. And then so people carry their own tent, their house, their livestock, and their belongings. But then what about the tabernacle, the tent of tabernacle? Who's going to carry all of that? So that's why the Levite was set aside to do that work. Some have to be cleaning up, put all the altar's equipments into boxes or whatever, put on there, and then carry them, the tent, the ark, the pillars, the equipments, and everything. And then they have to set down a new place, unfold them, build them up, set the tent, and then when it's done, when they moving on, then they have to fold and do all of that work. So you know Moses and Levi and Aaron come from the tribe of Levi. Later on, when the Israelites already settled and became a nation, the Levites would continue to be appointed to be the priest and caretakers of the temple. And they serve in different ministries. They be their teachers, the administrative workers, the healers. So Aaron's family were the priests of the nation. So the other 12 tribes, they can do their own business. They can do farming, raising livestock, and all kind of profit, of service for profit. So that's why God ordered them to put aside one tenth of their income or tithe to support the entire tribe of Levi, including the families of the priests. The tithes were a small thing to give. Consider the services that these people have to provide and what the priesthood perform in the people's behalf. So as for the Levites, they receive this income from the tithe. It reminds them that they depend upon God for all what they receive was from him. So when you look at that, God's plan for the tithing system is beautiful and simplicity and equality. It is divine in origin, so it's simple, yet reminds all people that they are dependent on God, and they show their gratitude toward what God gives them. So today in the Church of God, we practice the same concept. We have people who are called to be teachers, church workers, pastors, missionaries, evangelists. They serve the purpose of spreading his message throughout the world and be the caretakers of God's spiritual children. They need to be paid for their service that they do full time. We are the people who can do our business for profit and hold any kind of job we like the other 12 tribes in the old days. So that's why we need to tithe to support the people who strictly work for God is doing God's ministries. And remember, your tithe is not only to support the salaries of all the present workers, but also to take care of those who already retired. You know, as for me, I came from Vietnam. My family, my parents become Seventh-day Adventists in the 1930s. How did they know about the Word of God and the truth? Missionaries, and those are the people that came. I was growing up, went to the missionary school. Who were the teachers? They are now retired. Through them that we get to know about God, that the message of God was cultivated in us. So that is God had instructed his children about tithing, and we need to be faithful in our tithing. Because if we are grateful, we truly believe about spreading the gospel message, and that the returning of Jesus will soon, and we need to tithe faithfully. But then, you know, being a believer, our faiths are not to be measured by financial ability alone, but also in the way that we use our other abilities that God gives us. This quarter, we are studying the book of Acts, right? There are many amazing stories told in the book of Acts. There is one story that I want to share with you today, and that is in Acts chapter 3. So it went. One day, Peter and John were on their way to the temple. The temple had a gate called Beautiful Gate, and it must be a popular gate because so many beggars come there gathering here because they will see a lot of good people going to the temple and they will give. So every day, there was a man who was crippled from birth. Every day, he had someone brought him to the temple's popular gate, the Beautiful Gate, so he can beg there. When he saw Peter and John, he asked for money from them. You guys know how, I don't know if you ever see a beggar, but I came from a place where I see beggars. They sit there with the, you know, and some looks really sad, really, really bad condition. They beg. So this man, he saw Peter and John, he asked for money from them. So Peter and John stopped and looked right into the man's eyes. And Peter said, as in Acts chapter 3, verse 6 to 10, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And then taking the man by the right hand, Peter helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into the temple's courts, walking and jumping and praising God. That was a miracle, because through the Holy Spirit, Peter cured the crippled man. But you know what? There were two miracles happen. The first one is that everybody at the temple could see that there was a crippled man and now he is cured. But the other miracle is even more important. Peter had let the Holy Spirit using him. Through his hand that Peter reached out and the Holy Spirit worked the wonder. The story teaches an important lesson about stewardship. Today, we need to do for the love of Jesus whatever we can with whatever we have. Wherever we are, and never wait for another opportunity. A better time when more abilities and resources are available, we can do it now. We don't have to wait for then. We need to have our hands reaching out when there are needs and let the Holy Spirit walk, use our hands, work through our hands, work through us. So what is our ability, you may ask? Well, when we talk about stewardship, it is common to think in terms of money. But in the story that we just read, definitely Peter didn't give any money to that poor beggar. Money is not the most important thing. In fact, Peter confirmed that silver or gold, I didn't have any. But he performed the miracle. Our church here, you all know, we always have financial needs. We have many projects and expenses that need money to spend. Just to keep the church going physically, we need to pay bills too. To say that money is not important is not quite correct. However, is the spiritual life of our church, like Peter and John on the temple's gate? Are we ready to let the Holy Spirit use us, work through us, and do miracles to other people's lives? Last week, I don't know if Pastor Vin was preaching in your church, and he was preaching in ours. and he had a message. He said, in order for the church people to start stepping up and do the work, they have to put the pastor into jail, jail him. We put him in the hospital. Because that's the reason when the pastor, all pastors, unable to do the work, everybody will step up. This is our opportunity. Are we ready to reach out to those whose spiritual lives are crippled, or those who are spiritually crippled since birth, and that we will hold our hand out to take them and lift them up and let the Holy Spirit cure them and make them jumping and walking and praising God? We need that same faith and eagerness that Peter and John had at the beautiful gate. We need to let the Holy Spirit work through us to bring the salvation to the people around us. But then you said, but money is important. Yes. What we just consider is true, but something else is also true. Money. Indeed, it's necessary to move forward with God's work in the world. We need money. The Bible says a lot of, you know, says a lot regarding stewardship of our assets and giving money to God's cause. In the second letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth, which is Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, on chapter 8 and 9, Paul used both of these two chapters to discuss about gifts and giving. So when you have a chance, read through those two chapters. The church in Corinth had been collecting. You know, Corinth in the old day was a very large city. It's a big and wealthy city. So the church there, a lot of wealthy people, people with a lot of money, and the well-to-do people. So the church in Corinth had been collecting and asking for donations from church members to help. They collect to help other churches that were not doing so well financially. So in chapter 8, verse 7, Paul said. But just as you excel in everything, my members of the church in Corinth or the church of Almonte, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test its sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. The Corinthians, they believe they excel in everything. They had faith, they had good preaching, they got much knowledge, they have much love, but the Apostle Paul wants them to be also the leaders in giving. Here we see that Paul did not command people to give the offerings, but he encouraged them to give to prove that their love is sincere. When you love someone, you enjoy giving him or giving her gifts. You also want to give them your time and attention, and you do not mind providing for their needs. I think I did that with my children. I must have loved them very much. If you refuse to help when they in need, your love is not as genuine as you say. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, so Paul mentioned four principles of giving that I want to share with you. Number one, your willingness to give cheerfully is more important than the amount you give. Let that sink in. Your willingness to give cheerfully is more important than the amount you give. I remember long time ago, there was offering collected, and then we were in the church, we were counting the offerings, and then one person came up, "Oops! I didn't mean to put in the $20 bill. I was only to put the one, but I picked the wrong bill." So that is a spirit. What is he given? $20 or $1, regardless. And then he said, "It's okay to keep it." So what do we see in here? So our willingness to give cheerfully is more important. You should make up your mind how much you should give and able to. I have in many fundraising of churches and things, and regretfully, sometimes we have people are very eager at the moment, feel like raise their hand and okay, I will give this much. I don't know what maybe they feel so compelled or they be feeling so good to let everyone know, but anyway, it's beyond their mean. So we do not give what we do not have. Don't promise you will give. And also, don't promise you will give when you win the lottery or not, or you have to go out and take a loan to give. Apostle Paul wants the believers to be generous, but not the extent that your family would have to go without the basic needs. But he also wants them to follow through with their financial commitments. So if we promise, we should follow through with it. Number three, if you give to others in need, remember, in turn, when you are in need, they will help you. And I can feel that very true. You should give as a response to your love of, you know, to the love of Christ. Not for anything. You give in response to the love for Christ, not for anything you can get out of it. You get that? We don't give because, oh, I'm going to be, they're going to put my name on the buildings everywhere. Or, so maybe I can win this contract for the church, from the church. Because how you give reflects your devotion to God. Remember this in Corinthians. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs for God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you are proved, you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them with everyone else. Men will praise God. And so the message I have, I think you already see all that. Let me share with you a little story. Some of you may already heard. So Grandma took little Mary to McDonald's. My grandma didn't want anything, but she told Mary, "Whatever you like, I'll buy for you." That sounds like my children's grandma. "Whatever you like, I buy for you." So little Mary got a happy meal. They sit down at the table. So Grandma watching Mary enjoying her happy meal, Grandma said, "Can I have a piece of your French fries?" Little Mary pulls a tray away from Grandma and said, "No, these are mine, all for me. I don't want to share with you." We all said, "What a selfish child it is. All that, you know, what she has in that happy meal actually was from her grandma. And Grandma probably had enough money to buy 10 happy meals." But then when Grandma asked for some, the little good things that all was hers. Do you think that we might have the same attitude with God? Aren't all what we have from God? God gives us life. God gives us health, wisdom, opportunities, chance to be born or living in America, jobs, scholarships, grants, everything. We receive a lot. But when we are to give back to God, do we have the same attitude as that little Mary? We are the people who have found God, and by His grace, we have Jesus' salvation. We are very lucky. Having the salvation makes us the richest people, because we are rich in God, because we will inherit heaven. We should, in return, show God our thankful hearts and participate in help sharing the good news of the people around us. In Old Testament time, the 10% tithe was the minimum to be given. There were other offerings to help of the church's needs and special projects and charity. The believers in the Old Testament gave much more than 10%. Then it should not be any different in the 21st century in our church. Make putting aside 10% your earnings for tithes a habit. Somebody, your dad, gives you $10, put aside $1. That is tithe. I don't know if I share this with you, but I remember this was from a sermon one pastor was telling. He said, this young man came to him. He said, "Pastor," pastor said, "Hey, you were so glad to see you and heard that you got a very good job." He said, "Yes." He said, "Pastor, I used to send in tithe $50 for my job that paid me $500 a month. Now I make $5,000 a month sending a check. $500, this seems so big. Pastor, I need help." Pastor said, "Don't worry, let us pray about it." And then they pray, and then the pastor said, Oh God, please help this young man so that he will have a job that he can just pay $50 for tithe, and so he will be feeling blessed." So that is the thing. Sometimes $1 out of $10, we don't think is a big deal, but then when we have to put $100 out of $1,000, we seem so much. But it's tithe, only one-tenth for God. And make it a habit. and give offerings for other ministries as well. Our church have many ministries. Our church also have many generous donors. We thank God for their generosity. But we cannot expect that they are the only people who does all financial support to the church. We need to put in our share too. After church, the family driving home. In the car, Daddy say, the air conditioning broke down today in church. It was so hot. Mommy say, I know, and the sound system, it was awful. And nobody brought flowers. No, we have flowers today. Brought flowers to church. Church don't look good at all. So little Johnny sit in the back seat. He listened to his parents complain. So he leaned over to the front and said, Dad, Mom, that's what you get for $1. I'm glad in our church we don't have anybody named Johnny. We don't have that boy in our church. We tithe because we are faithful. We give because we are thankful. And again, the word of the Apostle Paul, be a cheerful giver because we are so blessed. And that's what I share with you today. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Please stand up for the last song. For closing prayer, please. Dear God, indeed you will make a way, Lord. Whatever situation we're in, when we think that there is no way, you make a way, that you surprise us, that you help our faith grow as we see your miracle, Lord. And Lord, thank you also for just having Cole Rachel to remind us, Lord, that we have to, it's more than about the amount we give, Lord, but is our heart right with you, Lord? Where is our spiritual life standing? Help us to give with a generous heart. And Lord, you don't need our money, but you want a heart, Lord. Open our hearts to you today. Bless the rest of the Sabbath. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for coming to worship. Please join us for potluck.